setting the tone. I love it. Feeling good. Friday at the Masters. We got the Leafs in action tomorrow night. The Jays back in action tonight. And this is the new theme song. This is what we love to hear. It's the best. There he is.
This is going to be a major part. Noodles, we have a big week coming up. We don't know when. We're just kind of teasing it. It's not Shark Week, Hazy. It's
Shark Week.
Oh, my goodness.
Enunciation.
I love
very
it.
Important. Yeah, we figured yeah, we got to make right sure. Up your alley.
This is brilliant. Now, I mean, I think I understand the premise, but just give me the Cole's notes here. I mean, you know, this is my first time wearing this glorious, glorious sweatshirt.
Yeah,
glorious.
It's beautiful. The Greg Norman, that's the face of what we're talking about here. But, you can break down the details.
Yeah, break it
down.
Well,
what we're going to do, well, yesterday, I don't know how, obviously, as per usual, I don't know how we got into this, but we were discussing Shark Week and how people were so into it. And we decided, as clever as we are, we were going to put a sports spin on it with tremendous collapses. We're talking Buckner in Boston. We're talking Jays going into Detroit with a 3.5-game lead and losing all the games and losing the division. And we're just going to go with the biggest collapses. Greg Norman at the Masters. We're going to do it all in 1 week.
Wow.
Jeremy Schapp-type interviews with people that were closely involved. And we're calling it Shart Week.
I love it too. I'm fully aware because we talk about the Leafs, the one, you know, the Boston
situation. Well, 2013, that's a big part of it.
Okay, but what I didn't understand, like, I didn't know the Blue Jays were a part of this whatsoever. When I saw that note or whatever, where they were up, what was it, 7 games left?
They were in 87. Pretty good shape. They were flying home. Like, they were in cruise control. It was over. And they, Greg Norman, the final week and a half of the season, and ended up missing the playoffs. It was an absolute shock to the system. And the Jays are in there, absolutely. The Leafs in 2013 are clearly in that. There's a lot of Toronto material. Like, we mentioned that yesterday, Noodles.
Obviously, but
there's a lot of Toronto material. But we're talking everything. Golf, tennis, anything you can get your hands on within the sporting world. We've seen meltdowns, right? We've seen guys or girls just choke away championships.
We might have to throw in, I don't know where you guys, your temperature is on this, but Steve Smith off of Grant Fear. Like, the Oilers were, they were a dynasty.
Yep.
Like, that was.
Here's a perfect example. A few years back, Jamie, Pierre LeBrun was covering San Jose, Los Angeles, and San Jose went up 3-0.
3-0.
And lost that series, and the LA Kings won the Stanley Cup. There's our West Coast documentary for Shark Week, and we'll have Pierre himself on.
That's right. So that's what we're talking about. That's where we're going with this.
It.
Again, the wheels are in motion. The seeds are being planted. There's a lot going on behind the scenes. People are saying it's got potential to be one of the great weeks in the history of broadcasting. So we just have to cross some T's and dot some I's. So we're all good.
Yeah.
And we're feeling good on a Friday. We're scattered around Ontario. Noodles, you live in Ottawa now. And
well,
you're permanently
here's the
in
thing,
Ottawa.
Too. I couldn't wear this sweatshirt and be in the window in the sun. I would have melted on there. So I'm in the bedroom, and I feel like, now this would be a reference that maybe only half of our listeners would get. I'm Mayor Tommy Shanks. I'm John Candy in SCTV, sitting by the fire, just kind of hanging out. I've closed the curtains. I've got some great lighting. You guys can see me.
Yeah.
Instead of the sun beating, and I obviously the view is a lot different, but I just was like, I can't do it. With this big sweatshirt on, I would die. I'd be Chevy guy, sweating away.
I'm glad you make that call because you were scaring young children a few days ago.
Yeah,
like the different lighting, it was very, it was terrifying stuff.
It's not good TV, so I figured, you know what? I'll at least give a better view. You guys can see me. Looks like the camera's matching up today, which looks solid. I'm pretty fired up, so I'm just happy to be back. You know, you miss a couple days, you feel like you're catching up. I feel like I'm an injured player trying to get back with the team.
Yep, you're trying to get back into the swing of things, basically.
I'm Freddie Anderson waiting for Jack Campbell.
Speaking of the devil, Jack Campbell's going to join us in about 20 minutes. We have never had Jack Campbell on the show before. We're really excited to have him on. And we'll ask, we'll pose the obvious questions, of course. Like, at what point did you ask or did someone tell you what the team record was for wins in a row? Because you wouldn't naturally know that. Why would Jack Campbell know what the record would be? But at what point, four wins, five wins, seven wins in a row, did someone say, hey, just for the record, the record's on the line here, Jack, and you got a shot at it. And he's won 10 games in a row. The Leafs are back in action tomorrow night against Ottawa. So Campbell will join us in about 20 minutes. And you called that game last night. I was not aware that Edmonton was 8-0 prior to that game against Ottawa.
Oh, really?
I didn't realize they had run the table on them. I knew they had done really well, and it was one of those things I'm sure I saw when they were 3-0, 5-0, 7-0. For whatever reason, it just was not on my radar before the game last night that they had a chance to sweep a season series, a 9-game season series, and they did so. That's incredibly impressive. It really is impressive. It's against Ottawa, but Ottawa is not the same team they were the first 2 weeks of the year. Like, they're playing a lot better. They're tougher. Connor Brown is on the heater of heaters for his whole career right now. He's playing really well.
And, he's a guy that kind of flies under the radar. And I know we've had the Zach Hyman argument, but, like, he's always kind of been, for me, that type of player. Hardworking, has some skill, really good complementary player. Obviously, if you look at his background, like, he played with McDavid at junior. Like, this guy, he lit it up. Like, as you know, and he's like, you arrive at the NHL and you settle into a role. But Connor Brown was a scorer. Like, he was a guy who, in junior put up some numbers. And
he was
and
the CHL the player of the year, man.
Yeah. And you know what? He's such a great guy. I'm happy for him. He's a Toronto kid. We've had him on the show a few times. He's very well liked, very popular. I will say this, covering the game the last two nights, like, Ottawa deserved a win last night. Like, they outplayed Edmonton. Edmonton was sleepwalking and they looked tired and just didn't really seem that interested, but they just found a way and good on Edmonton for 9 in a row. But, that's the challenge, like, for the Leafs. And as we all know, certain teams have rivalries, and Edmonton just seems to be Ottawa's kryptonite.
They've got their number. And it doesn't hurt that McDavid and Draisaitl seem to put on, like, a Hall of Fame clinic every time they play them.
Outrageous.
It really is outrageous to see what they do against that team. But full credit to Edmonton. Obviously, it's not the greatest look for Ottawa, but I think we had a Jerry's percentage earlier in the year, the idea of any team in the league, any team sweeping any other team at any point. I think we all said that just does not even seem remotely possible.
I don't know. I wouldn't go. Well, Grappler, get on it. I said a hunch.
Did you?
No.
Okay.
All
right.
You guys know my percentages. My percentages are never 21 or 30. It was a hunch.
You know what, though, is we should look at this, and I should have done my prep on that. Who is the closest? Like, okay, Edmonton's 9-0. There's got to be somebody, Chicago or Florida's had a heater against somebody. There's got to be team that is like 8-1 or 7-1 heading into the last couple games. Like, we'll have to look that up eventually. But
I'm pretty sure Tampa's gone into Detroit and beat their ass quite handily.
No, Detroit thumped Tampa the other night 6-3. I watched the game.
It was crazy. It is shocking how, again, I would just assume, of course, anyone should assume at some point Ottawa's going to get you. At some point, two pro teams, the other guy's going to have a better night, or the goalie's going to stand on his head, something, and it just didn't happen. So full credit to Edmonton for going 9-0. In terms of the standings, again, it's been determined for quite some time. Like, you look at it, I think we lose sight of where the Leafs are at. They are 22 points up on Calgary. They both played 40 games. 22.
That's crazy.
And they're 22 up on Vancouver, but Vancouver obviously has all of a sudden not played so many games. But it is a four-team race in the North Division, Toronto, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Montreal. And the Leafs are back in action tomorrow night. William Nylander not expected to play or be around the team for at least 7 days. That's smart. You know, the amateur doctor would suggest it was pretty close contact to someone who was tested positive, and clearly they feel like there's a real shot here that symptoms may pour on, or he could test positive at some point in the next 3 or 4 days. So they're going to keep him out of the lineup, and that's smart. It sucks
for
Nylander.
Which is so smart.
But you have to do
that. But
you have to.
Take a look at what's happened. I mean, template, Vancouver. You know, they're not going to release the name, but it sounds like there is somebody who brought that into the province, and they've identified. Like, all right, I thought I read there was in Alberta, there was somebody that brought it into Alberta, and they've gone back and contact traced who the hell it was. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Like, it's one person, like the Brazilian variant or whatever, and, you know, same thing.
Now it's crossing borders, and absolutely, that's how quickly it can happen. So, yeah, I think that's a smart play, though, for Nylander to take some time off. I'm sure that's league protocol. Again, not the greatest thing for him, but hopefully it's just negative, 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 and that's what the Leafs were saying today. As of right now, it's all good with Nylander. It's just about precaution. So we'll catch up with Jack Campbell in about 15 minutes. Steve Phillips will join us later in the afternoon. All of a sudden, the Jays have lost 3 in a row. And if you're watching the game last night, that is why Mike Trout is on a completely different level than anyone else in the game. Like, there's nobody close to Trout. Like, it's not, don't give me Juan Soto, don't give me Tatis Jr., don't. Like, he looks terrifying, and every time he steps into the box, including in the ninth where Grichuk made an unbelievable play to hold them off and to push that to extra innings. But Trout, he hit an absolute moonshot last night. And every time he steps in, you're like, this guy's going to make contact. Like, he's going to make contact here, and there's a pretty good chance it's going to have significant zip behind it. He is so good.
We can talk about how terrorizing he is, but we can also talk about how Danny Jansen can't advance a runner. It's just, like, I he tried to bunt the first game. He just, I don't know, he can't bunt anymore. Like,
I don't think they even work on bunting anymore. Because it's just like slowly leaving
the game. He should have seen his first
attempt
this year. It was god awful. But anyway, can you explain to me? Because this is what happened. They start the 10th inning with the guy on second base, correct?
Yes, Alejandro Kirk.
I saw Alejandro Kirk go to second base. I went to bed. I'm like, this game's over. There's zero outs.
Yep.
Like, so what the hell is going on?
The way the rule works is whoever was up to plate last in the previous inning starts at second. So
okay, so take me through what happened after that. Like, I went to bed saying this game's over. They're going to win the game.
Nothing, because Kirk, there was a pass ball where he made the right play not to go because he's so slow, and his instincts were saying, stay at the bag. I'm only coming home here if someone hits this out of the park or launches one into a corner where I can actually pick up some head speed here. So nothing. Like, Kirk wasn't going anywhere. Anyone with pace takes third there, and then maybe you're looking at a different complexion in the 10th inning. But I was honestly laughing last night. Like, it's the rule. I like this rule. I like that in extra innings during the regular season, you start with someone on second.
So do I.
The fact that it's Alejandro Kirk, who is the last human being on earth you would want to be in that position. In the league anyway. I think it's just outstanding. I love it. And you knew he wasn't coming home unless someone went yard last night. But the Jays have lost 3 in a row. Springer's still in the IL. Ryu can only pitch so often. Like, this is an early test. Early test. And they're going with David Phelps tonight, basically an opener. Like, their rotation is what it is. Stripling got rocked last night. It's pretty much what we thought it was going to be. And when you take two of three out of New York, it's, wow, the defense is there, the bullpen's great, wait till the bats get going. Then you lose 3 in a row, and it's like, this rotation's a mess, what are they doing, Springer's injured. Like, the tone and the narrative can change very quickly in pro sports.
It does.
Last night, the positive, I looked at, Vladdy looks like a monster.
He looks awesome.
He looks awesome. Bo is kind of rounding into form offensively, but
he'll
then you
fine.
Look at everything else. You look at everything else, Hayes, you're like, there's some serious holes here. Like, you look at the pitching, just getting everything together and getting it done. Now you're 3-game losing streak. I'm like, what are these guys right now?
I mean, I saw your guys' Twitter handles the other night where it was like, cue up Keith Hernandez. I'm like, I barely turned the game on.
Tanner Roark.
I'm like, lit. Yeah, I literally, I was like, first inning or late for the first inning, and I'm like, this isn't going well. It's early in the second, and it's they're getting dummied. And, you know, you're tracking it, and you're right. It can, as excited as we got with the Yankees, now, you know, it's you're heading out to the other. It's a battle right now.
Yep.
But that's the beauty of it. How many weeks are left? Like, let's just.
Oh, there's a ton of games. It's listen, right. They're 3-4. It's not the end of the world. I'm just pointing out the difference in tone. And
absolutely.
We're all guilty of it, myself included, where they leave Yankee Stadium and you're like, man, they did that without Springer, without Robbie Ray. We're feeling good here. And then you lose 3 in a row, two to Texas, who are not a very good team. The Angels are off to a good start. And listen, it's an extra innings loss last night. They were in that game. They had a shot. But you start focusing on the downside of this roster, which is Stripling taking the ball. Roark might be going back on the mound in a couple of days. They're already messing around with Zoik and Phelps and who you're going to open games with. And it's just not ideal in terms of the staff. But they got to get their offense going.
Did I hear them say last night that Ryu likes an extra day's rest?
Historically, he has. Like, that's what factored into why he pitched game two. Remember, that was their explanation.
Six innings, man.
I know.
This guy is
awesome. He went into the seventh a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
So he definitely needs that extra day now. I love it. I love it.
He prefers it.
You know what, though? I'll give him props because it sounds like he knows exactly what his body needs and what he wants. And that's it. You know what? So many athletes are like, I'm going to push it. I'm going to try this. Or I'll be a hero. Who was it? Was it Matt Harvey that was being the hero on, and give me the ball? And, you know, and he got lit up.
Like, that's right.
Yeah. Like too many guys don't know their limitations. And
well, look at Brooks Koepka right now at the Masters. He had no business being in this golf tournament.
You knew this was going south for him. Yeah, he just shot 39 on the front. I wouldn't be shocked if he doubles down on that and misses the cut. I don't expect him to make the cut. He's a great player. He's one of the four or five best players in the world when he's healthy. But he had surgery 3 weeks ago. He can barely walk out there. It's a mess.
He must have told the doctor, I truly, genuinely think I can go there and win this golf tournament, and that's the only reason I'm doing it. Because why the hell else would he be there? It's like any other physician would have said, dude, you're going to go walk around that place for 4 days? No way.
I think
Koepka,
only Koepka would try to pull it off to prove that he's not a golfer. He's a sports guy. Like, how often does Koepka say, I don't even love golf. I'm a football guy. I'm a this, I'm a that. I like hockey. And, like, that's his thing. And I think it's him proving I'm tough enough to battle it out. Where that's what would happen at the Super Bowl. That's what happened in Game 7 of a Cup Final. This is the Masters. I'm going to show it. I don't think anyone else would try it. And I think Koepka is paying the price. I give him credit for showing up. I give him a ton of credit. Like, he's going for it. It's not like he took someone else's spot. He's an independent contractor.
No.
But, listen, you knew this was going south. And it felt like it was going south for my boy, Justin Rose, who all of a sudden I have in the pool. Because he starts 3 over on the front today. I'm like, here we go. This guy is going to melt. And I think at one point he was 4 over par. He battles it back. He ends up shooting an even par. And he's at 7 under for the tourney. And he's still in the lead. So day two of the Masters.
There's some interesting gentlemen creeping up that leaderboard. Your boy, JT. My boy, Spieth. And that leaderboard is looking juicy for the weekend right now. I think DJ's going up. I think he's
DJ's
how is
done.
The bet? Yeah, how is the draft going? Where, you know, who is in the lead?
We'll get Grappler with an updated leaderboard later in the show. But I will say one thing about the Grappler. I received a message today. We're on the topic of golf, and it was from an unknown number. I don't know who sent it to me, but it was a video of a man on a side hill lie that took a slash at the golf ball, and it looked like he had two dislocated shoulders. There was an Arnie Palmer follow-through with some kind of hook finish with a kind of a lunge and a dip. I don't know
who
what the
that?
Hell that was, but we got to let the people
that?
See.
I don't know who that was either. I really don't know who that was, but
It was Hayes. It was Brian Hayes.
Lord. I was trying to figure out who that was in that Twitter post because I knew it was Hayes or Grappler or somebody. Like, I thought maybe Tux was in there. Like, I was trying to figure that out. So it didn't go so well for you today golfing,
well,
or what?
I played okay. I shot 87. That was my one bad shot. There it is up on TSN.
That's Barkley like.
Look at
Barkley.
Look at this.
It really is an awful shot.
Look at this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch the follow through.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, couple things to say quickly here. There's a reason they call Deer Creek Augusta North, all right? Deceptively hilly. Deceptively hilly. That was like a black diamond slope, all right? I'm on spikeless shoes. I'm holding on for dear life. I hit like a 7-iron there, and I just said, get it out. Punch it down. Get it 100 yards down the fairway, and I'm happy. And the reason you can't see that hill is because the grappler's got a flip phone. Benedict Arnold here taking video of me while I'm out there slashing it around. But course management, punch it down and it's all good. I thought it was actually a smart play.
Jeepers creepers.
Oh, no.
What was the final number?
87. 87,
that's a
94. Legit. 87, that's 94. Legit. I play, with the grappler, who I don't trust the grappler anymore anyway. Frankie Corrado. Played with Frankie today, who's actually a stud out there. Frankie can really – he can play. I don't know what he shot in the end. Everyone was deceptively quiet about their score. But ask him.
Oh,
shoot
him
a note. Shoot the grappler a note, Frankie a note. Legit, 87 was – outside of that shot, which was more about course management and a black diamond slope.
87 is multiple times putting it in your pocket saying, give me a bogey.
Not once. Not once. Putted out every single hole, man. I'm telling you, Tita Green, I would play pretty well, putted the ball pretty well. That was one shot where I had to get a little bit crazy. Channeling the king. What's wrong with that? Channeling the king.
All right, before we go, before the show ends, we got a small segment. We'll call Frankie and I'll get the lowdown.
Fine, we will. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Jack Campbell coming up. 10 in a row. The Leafs are back in action against Ottawa tomorrow night. We'll catch up with Jack next. So the Leafs are back in action tomorrow night at home against Ottawa. And yet you're still in Ottawa, Noodles, because the Sens, I guess, play on Monday against Winnipeg. I guess you're calling that game.
Yeah, the kids came up. We made a weekend of it, except may have to send them home early today or tomorrow. We'll see how things go.
Getting a little bit crazy? Yeah.
Nah, we'll get into it later, but we had a beaver tail today, and one of them found a hair in it, and it wasn't the kid. It was my wife. And you know what?
That's not good. Yeah, that's
not
good.
No, I'm fine with it. Pull the hair out and move on.
We'll get into that later.
Okay, we'll get to that a little bit later on. I'm sure Jack Campbell very excited
about
that story. Maybe he does. Here he is from the Toronto Maple Leafs, Jack Campbell. Do you care about that story, Jack, or what?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Make sure everything's all right.
Everything's fine. We're all right. It just had to, you pull it out and you move on. To me, you eat around it, but apparently the person I was with did not want to eat that, and her appetite
understandably
was gone, so.
Yeah, hair
fair
on
enough.
Food. I don't know where you stand on that, Jack, but are you a picky eater or what?
I just pretend I didn't see it, and
that's,
you gotta
that's it,
her.
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like that play. I like that a lot. So you have been the talk of the town, clearly, and you're setting records with the team. You've won 10 straight to start the year. That has never happened in franchise history. And as you know, this team's been around for over 100 years. So at what point did you either find out what the record was, or did someone tell you what the record was that you were ultimately chasing?
It's a good question. I think somebody mentioned it maybe before the ninth game. It was before the ninth game I found out. And Ben, actually, I hope he's all right with me mentioning it, but Felix actually texted me after that Calgary game, and it's just an honor to hear from him, and that was really cool. And then after the 10th game, Coach came in after the game and kind of said something, which was really nice. And it's definitely a huge honor, but with this season, you don't really have a lot of time to enjoy anything. You got to move on. So it's kind of a blessing, too, with all the games. You're just focused on getting better and getting ready for the next night.
Jack, has your view of your job description changed in the last 3 or 4 weeks? I think that in L.A. you were kind of known as the backup to Jonathan Quick, and when you first got here, basically that role with Freddie Anderson, the mindset you're in now, do you feel like a number one goaltender or feel anything different with what's gone on?
It's a good question too. I think in LA, my first full year up, Quickie went down with an injury, and I got to play, you know, kind of similar as right now. I think I played like 12 in a row. And, I mean, my mindset's always the same. It doesn't matter if I get 10 in a row or if I, you know, get one in five games. You know, I expect to play this well every game. And even right now, I'm still not thrilled about some of the goals I've given up lately. So I'm still get a lot better. But, you know, I expect to do certain things in this sport. And, you know, I'm obviously super grateful for the opportunity to play more. And Freddie's a huge part of our team. So, you know, we're all ready for him to come back. And Hutchie's done really well when he's played. So, you know, I don't think anything's changed in my mind to answer your question. I just expect a certain standard every time I do play.
Jack, you've had a long road to arrive to where you are at right now. I've read some articles lately on you and how thankful you are. You know, you look back to even you playing in Idaho in 2015. I mean, did you envision things kind of working out as to right now? I know you've got a great work ethic. Obviously, I'm close with Dusty Emu, and he speaks the world of you and working with you. But, you know, it's a scenario. Did you envision, if you kept working hard and working at your game, that things would eventually work out?
Oh, I mean, I'd love to say this is exactly, you know, that was part of the plan, but those were some pretty dark days. You know, my last 2 years in Texas and going to Idaho. But I will say going to Idaho, I think, kind of changed my career in a good way, because it showed me I really love playing hockey and I can still play regardless of what level it was. You know, I had a great group of guys there in Idaho, and still talk to some of them to this day. And it just kind of showed I still love it. You know, I still want to pursue it, even though I was in a pretty low place. And then obviously the rest has kind of been talked about enough. And Dusty's been amazing. And, you know, Bill Ranford, and then now Steve Breer, who's incredible.
Is that kind of your past and what you've gone through to get here? Is that why Jack Campbell's always in a good mood? Always, I literally, when I played, you could say hi and good morning to somebody having a coffee, and they would look you right in the face and tell you to F off. It just seems like every day you're loving life and you're appreciative and you're always tapping your defenseman shin pads. Is that part of the reason, the grind to get there?
I mean, that's just, I think, my dad, my upbringing. You know, he works his tail off, you could say, and, you know, just leads by example with how hard he works. And every day, like, whether it was a good day or bad day, because, you know, he had some bad ones, came home and had the same kind of demeanor every night when he'd come home to our family. So that's just kind of my personality, I guess, that he kind of engraved in me. You know, it's just nice to be around positive guys. And, you know, some guys are still great guys and they just might not be as outspoken, which is completely awesome. It's just, you know, sometimes you get the camaraderie with other guys and maybe you put a smile on someone's face and then they want to go to work. So you never know. I just think being positive and encouraging is, you know, it's a kind of a winning recipe.
We're chatting with Jack Campbell. The Leafs back in action against Ottawa tomorrow night. Jack has won 10 straight. I'm sure if you're listening or watching this show, you're well aware of that. And you talk openly about your teammates and how you feel about them. And obviously, you know, it's not only yourself out there. These guys got to pull their weight as well to get you into a position to win games. And you guys are rolling now. You had a bit of a dip a few weeks ago, but you're winning games night in, night out, and you're well ahead of any other team in your division at this point. What do you like most about your team, and why do you feel like you guys are set to go on a pretty significant run?
I mean, I think what I like most is we're not satisfied. You know, we're sitting in a good spot, but, you know, everybody knows we can still keep getting better every day. And, you know, Coach has done a good job of, you know, keeping our mindset there and being in the moment and getting better. And I love the ability that everybody comes to the rink every day and we have a really good time having fun, but everybody works and, you know, we just want to keep getting better because our ultimate goal is really high. And, you know, it's great what we're doing right now, but it's a tough league. So we just got to keep building.
We're chatting with Jack Campbell. I was aware of you being a part of Team USA World Juniors a couple of times. I was not aware that there was a three-pack of appearances for you, which is pretty incredible. And, you know, obviously that's a tournament where every kid, I'm sure, grows up wanting to play it. If you play hockey up here, that's certainly the case. I'm sure if you're a hockey player in the States, you'd think about that as well. How did that set you up to get to where you're at now, having that kind of success as a teenager at the juniors and knowing that your country's program clearly saw a lot in you?
Yeah, it's an honor. I mean, I'm a pretty patriotic guy, and you know, representing the United States was a dream come true. And, you know, the NTDP, National Team Development Program, I was fortunate enough to go there for 2 years. And, you know, I completely believe in the program and think the world of it. It definitely instilled some lifelong habits that, you know, I really appreciate them teaching us, and, you know, and also the friendships, playing there, playing on the World Junior teams. If anybody has a chance to do it, it's incredible. And, you know, obviously anytime you win, you know, those friends stay in your life, your entire life. So, you know, they were great days and definitely helped me in the future. And yeah, it's just fun to follow nowadays too.
Well, and once you got past that, you mentioned you were at that national development program. You ended up in the OHL, and two of our favorite towns, Windsor and Sault Ste. Marie, two of the grittiest towns in Ontario, two of the grittiest towns in Canada. Is there one in particular of those two, Windsor or the Sioux? Which one is grittier for you?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? I got to be fair, because I was only in the Sioux for a couple months, so I didn't
really
like...
You
got to
pick one, Jack. You got to pick one, buddy.
All right, I'm going to go with Windsor because, yeah, like, my billet family, like, they were incredible and, you know, hardworking, and, you know, just everybody I met there just kind of seemed like they rolled up their sleeves and ready to work, and I love that.
That's Windsor. That's Windsor for you. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we all played junior, but I played in the Western League, and these two guys played in the O, and that's all I could think about. We talk junior stories all the time where, you know, all hell would break loose. There'd be fights and, you know, fan interaction and stuff. So you wonder, coming from the U.S. national team north of the border, was it a little bit of a culture shock for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty grounded program and at the NTDP. They kind of have us on a pretty tight leash, and which is, I think, a good thing at that age. You know, you're still 16, 17 years old, and, you know, kind of needed that guidance. And then going to Windsor, it was really fun. We had a good crew, and everything about it was really awesome. But definitely being on my own for the first time, it was interesting.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it, for sure, getting to the O and billet families and the whole nine. But you guys are obviously rolling, and you got another one tomorrow night against Ottawa. What's it been like for you? It feels like a gratuitous question to anyone playing professional sports without fans in the building, but it doesn't seem to affect you. But as a goaltender, how does it change the experience not having fans in the building?
Yeah, we all definitely miss the fans, of course, and, you know, I think that's part of having such a great room that we have right now, is we're having fun and kind of keeping the energy going. You know, most barns you go to, you know, it's just so energetic that you don't have to think about that. But nowadays, you know, having a good room and having fun, it really does, you know, that drive to win really does come out. And, you know, as a goalie, though, having no fans, it definitely gives you a little more time to think and during the game. So if you're not seeing some rubber for a bit, it's a little quiet in there. So definitely can't wait for the fans to come back.
Yeah, for sure. Well, good luck tomorrow night. Congrats on history being made, the record that you've set, and having a great season. Continued success, and we'll do it again down the road. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
You got it. Jack Campbell, the Toronto Maple Leafs. And we talked about this yesterday, that or it might have been a couple of days ago. This is one way of I guess finding some sort of proof about how popular a player is becoming, is when you see the fans in the city, whether it's in the streets or in the building, they start buying jerseys, right? Like a guy starts getting hot, a guy kind of arrives. We always see with the trade deadline, some big name, Owen Nolan, gets traded here, and there's 15,000 Nolan jerseys sold in like 24 hours. I think there would be a lot of Campbell jerseys scattered around the building. Like if there were fans in there tomorrow night and he had won 10 in a row and he was doing what he's doing and the Leafs were doing what they're doing, I'm not sure that would have been the case a year ago. I probably would have not been the case, clearly. But
There would be a ton of them, Hayes.
Yep.
I will say one thing. I never really viewed Toronto. I found it more of like a United States thing, like jerseys in the barn. But the last 10 years, it's kind of really picked up steam. And doing radio games, I could not believe the amount of Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner jerseys. Like, I never thought any type of jersey would overtake the Dougie and the Wendells. Mm-hmm. But there are so many Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner jerseys, it's kind of, it's overtaken it. Like, there's way more of them. Yeah, wow. It's unbelievable. Good on them. Good on the fans and the players for being so good.
You're right. Hayes, you can weigh in on it, but just from the outside, me seeing, is I think the fans can identify with them because they know these players are going to be here for a while, where maybe when the Leafs were in transition, there was Dion jerseys, there was Phil jerseys, but outside of that, like, think about the last 12 years.
Well, that's just it was, Jamie. They're really good players. JVR, and the team's good.
But you know, Austin Matthews, the first overall pick, you're like, this guy's going to be here for a ton of time. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, gravitate to a superstar, Mitch Marner. You know, and then it trickles down into who's my favorite player on that team. Jack Campbell, you know, very likable guy. People love Freddie Anderson when Freddie was rolling. Like, you know, there Morgan Riley, like, you know, a long-standing. He's the longest standing Leaf. Like,
yep.
Right now, that's what I would notice being up top when we're on the panel looking down. You see the Matthews, you see the Marner, but then it's sprinkled in. You know, you see Tucker, you see Clark, and now that.
The science behind that is generally jersey guy, like someone who's committed to the jersey game, has multiple jerseys. And
right.
That's
yeah,
where
buddy
you
is
get.
Like that.
Yeah, I have buddies that I don't think they do it anymore, but in their 20s, like they have a Ponikarovsky jersey. Like a Ponikarovsky jersey, who was a guy who was here for a while, good player,
right?
But not like household superstar. And you'd get one of those, and then someone would be traded here, and it's like, I guess I got to grab one of those. And you end up
with
like 12 different
jerseys.
Dude, I
have a buddy it's outrageous. Spiro is 46 years old, and he'll send me a random text like I care. He'll be like, thinking of getting a Hyman White. And I'm like...
What, like canvassing? Wondering how you feel
about that? Dude, this guy's got a great life, like a great house, family, and it's just thinking about getting a Hyman White, maybe Christmas Marner Blue. And I'm like, dude,
go for it, man.
Go get it. Go get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's his thing.
You can't be down on somebody who's a passionate fan.
But I just don't know how to respond to the text when I get thinking about getting a Hyman White.
Yeah, there's really no reaction to that.
You know what you do? You send that emoji, the thumbs up.
The thumbs up emoji always covers it.
A respectful thumbs up. It's not, you know, a middle finger or anything. It's just a thumbs up like, hey, I'm acknowledging your message. That's what it is. And thumbs up. Good for you.
That's always the play. That's always the play.
I've only spotted, like, I'll be honest, in I think it was in St. Louis, there was somebody who had a McLennan jersey, and I was like, why the hell does that person have it? Like,
I love
you know
it. That's Jersey
mean?
Guy. Jersey guy.
Yeah,
loves
but we
you
were,
for whatever reason. And
do you want to know the story? Is
yeah.
They won it in, like, an auction. They won it in an auction, and somebody went up and snapped a photo and went and asked the person, like, why do you have this jersey? And he's like, I won it in an auction. It's pretty cool. Like it's actually an NHL game worn jersey, so it's nice. But it's kind of funny because somebody I know snapped a picture of it, went to the guy and asked him like why, like not Brett Hull, not
That's
Chris
nice.
Pronger, not Al McInnes, not like why, what is? And the guy's like, yeah, I won it in an auction. It's pretty cool. Like,
there's got to be an explanation. Has
nothing
to
do with like I like McLennan. Nothing like that. It's like. That guy, I won it. It's pretty,
but it is so. True about, like, the big boys, every generation, more or less, and there can be gaps. Like, there were some Kessels, there were some Phaneufs, there were some JVR, some Kadris, but generally, like, when I remember the first jerseys I can remember, because you'd be going to the gardens, and it would generally be from the previous generation, the old school grizzled vet, and it was always Sittler. Like, it was always 27 vintage, maybe a 21 right. Salming jersey. And then, in, you know, when I was a kid and growing up 10 years to 17 or 18, it was all 17 and 93. Like, it was almost exclusively Clark and Gilmore. And then Sundin, Tucker, Domi, 7 Roberts was pretty big. There were some 15 Cabriolets, 24 Roberts, some 92 O'Neills, Cujo 31s.
Dude, but, you don't have to throw my name in there, you idiot.
I just figured. There were some. We get pictures.
I've seen that. We get pictures. We get pictures all the time sent to Overdrive account 92 O'Neill.
Yes,
I'm always tagged on them. I swear to God.
I see them.
I don't
all
know
the
how
time.
Many times I
all
we
time.
See them all the time. Yep. All the time.
That's right.
And it's not the same Grit Grinder. Like there's several have been sent. Hell, I even got sent a Strudwick 34 one.
That's
almost fell off my chair.
Beautiful. Strutty, I love it. Someone tweeting in right now, Cole tweeting in saying, I'm listening to the Overdrive crew talk about people buying up Jack Campbell jerseys. I can confirm that I am one of those people.
There you
go. I just bought one recently. And that's what it takes. If you're a jersey guy and you see someone getting on a heater, but nothing's going to top Matthews or Marner in this era, nor should it. I think 91 Tavares would be close. Like when he signed up here, there were a lot that got sold.
With the C on it too, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. 44 I think would be big. Nylander's flipped his number around, but anyway, Ray will join us a little bit later in the afternoon. Duffy's coming up. James is doing the whole primetime Masters stuff from the studio. He must be so miserable that he's not down at Augusta. We'll ask him, like,
sure.
Point blank. And he's up here because we got the Trade Center on Monday, and obviously we're looking forward to that. So we'll tee that up with him as well. Steve Phillips on the Jays, and Ray again coming up a little bit later this afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
I just watched this dude, Zalatoris.
Will Zalatoris.
Dude, this kid looks like he weighs 130 pounds. He mashed it 340 up the hill on 18 and hit a sand wedge to 2 feet like it was nothing.
He crushes the ball.
Dude, this guy crushes his golf ball. Mm-hmm. I don't. How much do you think that guy weighs? 135 pounds.
He doesn't look like he's more than 150. He might be tall, so he may be 6'3 or 6'4, and as a result,
dude,
you know,
this
the weight
guy
goes
generates
up
some speed, man.
Yeah, he does.
Scary stuff.
That's the crazy thing about golf, that a lot of the best players and the biggest bombers are small guys. Justin Thomas is 5'9", 140, and he comes out of shoes. McIlroy, Sergio.
People think Tiger Woods is some monster. He's not. He's 5'10", too. Rory McIlroy's 5'9", yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I golfed Ray Whitney. Like, he's not a big guy, mm-hmm. and he hammers it. Have you ever played with him, O?
No, I heard he's unbelievable, though. He's, like,
yeah, he's
legendary,
a great golfer.
The wizard legendary.
Well,
yeah,
there's
like,
some.
He's not a big guy, but he hammers it.
That's what it comes down to. It's all about swing speed and mechanics. And like, I'm 6'2", 205. It doesn't matter to me. I can't hit the ball like off the tee anyway. Strokes gained off my irons, pretty solid. Around the greens, pretty solid. Tee.
Butter. You got butter story. Hands. Butter
exactly.
hands. That's
butter
what you
hands.
Got.
Apparently, Siwoo Kim snapped his putter on 15. I putting
just
with a
saw
three
that.
Wood.
Dude, the thing is, he's 3 shots from the lead, and he snaps his putter, which in rules of play, if you dent your putter or make it anything different than what you started with, you can't use it. So this guy's in contention, wheeling around with his 3-wood on the greens at Augusta.
I don't understand
like, his
that,
caddy
though.
Must be like, what's wrong with you?
No kidding. Get it together.
So
tin cup.
If you break your club, Jamie, if you break your club, it's in because it's hitting a rock. You can have somebody go get the replacement in the locker room. But if you do it yourself, it's gassed. You can't use it.
But I don't understand that. Why would they care? Like, say you're pissed off and you snap the club over your knee and just get another one. Like, I don't understand why they have to be like, oh, you can't use another. If you snap your 3-iron, can't use another 3-iron.
You'd have guys going WWE out there and smashing every club in their bag around a tree.
It's
about
isn't
that what we love?
Oh, we
the
love
entertainment
it.
Business.
We
love, that.
It. Yeah, we love Happy Gilmore and Tin Cup. That doesn't mean they want to see that Augusta National.
That's but fair. That's
I just walked outside because I've got the Masters up on my TV down here. And
yeah.
It was just a live shot of Siwoo Kim with his like the brill of, or the brim of his hat like tucked below his eyes, and you could just tell he is steaming. But he can only be mad at himself. He broke it on his own. But he's probably thinking to himself, I'm going to three jack every hole coming home here, and I'm going to throw away any chance of competing because I snapped and broke my putter on 15. Hour two coming up, James Duffy, who's been covering the Masters. We'll get into that with him, get his take on Trade Center coming up on Monday. Leafs back in action tomorrow night. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.